Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Dan Moore. Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Please join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if I may, need a motion to approve the minutes from our regular meeting of April 20th, subcommittee amendment.
Move approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Financial report. Pardon. We're going to take a little bit out of sequence. Somebody who just loves to be sworn in to Metro Parks, Brian, to take it away.
Yeah, we are going to invite Brian Gunkelman up to be sworn in as a part-time police officer for Cleveland Metro Parks.
You know the drill.
Gets easier.
Welcome back. I state your name.
I, Brian Gunkelman.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And the laws of the United States of America.
And the laws of the United States of America.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
And the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
Of the office of officer.
Of the office of officer.
To which I have been appointed.
To which I have been appointed.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated.
The policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me.
And the instructions given to me.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
And this I promise to do as I shall answer under God.
And this I promise to do as this under God.
Definitely signing again. As Brian's just signing his paperwork, he joined us in 2014. And on April 8th, he was recruited to another company. And we are very blessed to have his services back. He was part of our drone team special training. He received his Bachelor of Science degree from Kent State. So we are very blessed to have him back in the part-time capacity. So recommended action appointing Brian J. Gunkelman as part-time police officer falls on the WACM.
Move approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome back.
And now the financial report.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's actually a pleasure to report the results of the Metro Parks through the first 4 months of the year, because at a high level, they're just really good. So we'll jump right into it. The first thing you'll see, income tax collections were almost $4 million over where we were at the same point last year in April. By the end of the month of April, you'll have the whole first half collection done. As I wanted to project out, so in 2022, and historically when I served as fiscal officer and treasurer in Franklin County, you typically collect around 53% to 54% of your total collections in the first half. Some people just pay all their taxes up front. If that trend holds true and it's consistent for us in 2023, we should collect around $94 million, $94 to $94.5 million, which is slightly above what we have in our 10-year plan and what we were projecting, which was 92.7. So collections are going very well in Cuyahoga County and with the fiscal office. So I just wanted to make sure I highlighted that. I went forward. The other thing, this might look odd when you look at, hey, what was the payroll in April last year compared to this year? You may remember me talking about this. We had three payrolls in the month of April, three pay dates in 2022. We had three pay dates in the month of March in 2023. So now we're totally up to sync. We are running 9% year to date through April of 23 above April of 24. And that 9% is primarily made up of really getting up to full staffing now. We've really gotten to full staffing. It's not necessarily compensation level, but our numbers are where they need to be. And then the last thing at the consolidated level that I wanted to talk about, if you look at capital construction, we're at 9.4, almost $9.5 million this year compared to about 5 last year, so we're up. I did want to detail kind of what's going on there because this will help save time when we talk about the other departments, but in CapEx, right now the zoo to date, we've spent about $4.8 million. We've talked about this month after month. About 3.3, 3.4 is in tropical bears. The primate exhibit, we've already spent over 600,000 and then a variety of other projects. In golf, we've spent $800,000 thus far and over 600,000, 616 is at Manikiki. We've talked about the Manikiki project. Other major projects that are ongoing right now or have been completed and are reflected in that number would be the Gorge Parkway and the retaining wall. That's $600,000. Euclid Creek Greenway, $413,000. Garfield Pond, we've already spent over $750,000. Johnson's Creek, $450,000. The CHEER study, we've already spent over $600,000 there. And the ODNR money at Foster's Run is over $300,000. So you can see how that adds up pretty quickly, but it also speaks to the volume of work that's being done throughout the park district just in the first 4 months. But that is why that number is so high this year, just compared to last year. This will start to level out a little bit or get closer to last year. But right now, the weather's been cooperative and our contractors, as well as our staff, are just doing a lot of work. So you'll see those numbers reflected as we go forward. The zoo. And the first item I wanted to highlight was they had just a wonderful April. And we're going to talk about this with golf too. When I shared this, I was asked, wait, are you sure? Because the weather didn't seem that great in April. And yeah, I'm sure that was a very good April. You can see that the zoo year to date, this is just gate admissions, $106,000 over where we were last year. So right now, knock on wood, the zoo is doing really, really well. I did highlight this number because this negative might catch someone's attention. That's only because we received our check last year for the Zoological Society in April. This year, we'll get it a little bit later, so that'll square up. So you can see they're running a little bit ahead, but no cause for concern. I point that out because I don't want anybody to worry. We'll get an approximate check of that amount, but that'll hit our books in May for the zoo. The last thing I did want to point out is that the zoo is $500,000 over where they were last year. Part of its payroll or compensation, but that's only 4%. They were about full staffed. They've added some additional staff. You have some compensation adjustments, but this $273,000 number, and I point this out, this is 17% higher operating costs than it was last year. And that's quite simply inflation. That's the cost of commodities, the cost of contractors, whatever Dr. Kuhar needs to do at the zoo, he's really pushing a sled uphill because the cost of everything is just up. And so they're doing very well. Even fighting that, payroll's under control. We've talked about the major capital projects, but all in all right now, the zoo is in a good spot and we're happy with where they are and the attendance is good. Now we'll talk about golf. And quite simply, golf had a great month. $276,000 last year in April to $482,000. I know when we posted this number, Joe Rozak right away said, are you sure that's right? It can't be right. The weather was terrible. Yeah, that's right. It's absolutely right. They just had a great month. You can see where they are year to date. They are right now $276,000 just 4 months in over where they were last year. I did want to point out that you'll see down here, I want to go to the operating expenses. Again, salary, this I call it salaries and benefits line is up. Theirs is up 14% this year. That's due to staffing. They're more at full staffing this year than they were last year at this time. But just as I mentioned with the zoo and Dr. Kuhar, the golf operation and Joe Rozak, their cost of operations are up 24%. Again, that's inflation. Those are all the other costs. When you buy chemicals and things of that nature for the golf course, they're petroleum based. We all know that petroleum costs were up, inflation's up. It's just making it again. They're doing really well and they're pushing a sled uphill to try to battle the increased cost. And I point that out because as we looked at our fees to attend the zoo or to golf, if your cost of operation due to inflation is going up 6, 8, 10%, we can't increase our cost to golf or to enter the zoo 10%. That wouldn't be reasonable. So they really have to find ways to be efficient, to continue to be profitable, and they are.
So in the, it's kind of all the eggs in one basket when you talk about inflation in gross. And I assume there's more of an effort to break these out individually to different components to see which kind of to track how inflation is affecting some of these categories more than others. Is that true?
Yeah, we have it in different buckets, but at the end of the day, Commissioner, it's affecting all of them, some more than others. But it's affecting all of
them. But I mean, any sense that any of these will either start to go back down, or are these costs here to stay?
We hope they go back down or at least stabilize. We hope as inflation starts to come down, and I think we're starting to see some signs of that in the economy, but everything that I've read and I'm paying attention to is that we're still going to have inflation at above, at an elevated level through 23. We're hoping in 24 that it gets back down to more normal level. So it'll be a tough putt this year.
But if we, you think the labor rates seem to be continuing to go up. Material costs, you know, I think will ebb, but there's a real shortage of labor out
there. There is, Commissioner, but our labor rates are good in terms of our seasonals and even the compensation rates paid to full-time staff that we work through with you. Those are not at all mirroring what the inflation increases. The inflation increases all in the commodities expenses. If we see increases in that salaries and benefits line, it's because we've added staff because we were down staff last year at this point, but it's not due to elevated compensation levels.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
And now we'll talk about the individual golf courses. And I can make this one easy. Every golf, those are the two capital projects we talked about, Manikiki, Seneca. We've got some work going on there in capital. Every golf course except for Mastic is in a better spot through 4 months this year than it was last year. And the only reason that Mastic is not is because there were some changes in how staff are charged, and they have a full-time staff member now. They did not have a full-time staff member at this time last year. That's all that's there. But all of them, the revenue's up. Obviously, expenses are up for different reasons. But when I say at a better spot, for example, if you take Big Met, at last year's, at this point, they were running about 123K behind. Now they're only 72K behind. And part of that is because you've got full salaries happening in January and February for your full-time staff, but you're not getting the revenues. Now the revenues are going to really start to come in May, June, July, August, September, and this thing will get to the positive real fast. So in terms of looking at how they're trending, every golf course is doing well. We're happy with where everyone is. And then enterprise, you can see that revenue year to date's up $134,000 on concessions, and this is all driven by Merwin's. We're going to talk about that. I did highlight, you can see that dock revenue is up this year, 58K. It's down this month, month over month, only because last year's dock rentals were lagging a little bit when we looked at it. We had already received most of our dock rental revenue that we would have received through the first 4 months before April. So I went right to the 58,000 in terms of dock rentals were in a good spot. And the individual enterprise, I think, information you'll find interesting. And obviously, I'll give you the number. Through 4 months, Merwin's revenue is up 58%. And you might have remembered me mentioning last year, and we've talked about it internally, they needed about a 12 to 14% increase. That's what it would take to break even. They're up 58% through the first 4 months. If they maintain that pace, they're gonna knock it out of the park. So Merwin's is doing really well. And here's the really interesting thing about what's going on there. Their revenues year over year have gone down. They found a way to keep expenses steady while driving revenue up 58%. So, I mean, I like to point out these things because sometimes they don't get noticed, they get lost in the bigger picture. What's happening down at Merwin's right now is really working. They're really doing a good job. And then the last two things I wanted to mention. If you look here, expenses have gone up a little bit in the chalet. It's still positive revenues. Revenues are up, I should say, positive surplus. But they were not fully staffed at this point last year. So this is primarily driven by staffing being there. But also the revenues are up. They're making money. And then the last thing, this is in yellow, which usually means capital, but we're just realizing a little bit more parking revenue now than we have before because we've rearranged how we park and we've allowed for some more parking spots, which allows for some more revenue. So again, trying to find ways to make the most of what we've got. Parking really drops a lot of money to the bottom line, which helps fund other things going on within the park district.
Is parking always a cashless transaction?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on an app.
Yeah.
That's all I had. I did want to add one more thing before we finished on finance, if I could. I know that, and I want it, so it's in the record. This morning, senior staff, Rose, Brian, myself, Joe Rozek, and Gary Butzback, and the audit committee met with our external auditors. Then the external auditors met with our commissioners. They issued their audit report, and as they said during the meeting, they're about 6 weeks ahead of where they were last year in terms of getting the audit out. I want to read some highlights of what they reported to the audit committee as well as the commissioners so that it is in the record. And they issued an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which means a clean audit. They conduct their audit under government auditing standards, which means they're looking at the financial statements and right out of their report, no material weaknesses identified in internal controls, no significant deficiencies in internal controls, no material instances of noncompliance. They also have to look at grants, part of the single audit through the uniform grant guidance, no material weaknesses identified in internal control of federal programs, no significant deficiencies in internal control of federal programs was noted, no material instances of noncompliance for federal programs was noted, and they issued an unmodified opinion on major programs, which is a clean opinion. And then last but not least, they are required by law to look at our public records compliance. It was reported by the auditors, 100% compliance in their test, no findings, no problems. We got their top score in terms of complying with public records law. So the audit, in my opinion, couldn't have gone better. A big thanks to Gary Butzback, the controller, and the team, because they did a wonderful job of just guiding us through the audit. And big compliments to Clark Schaefer and Hackett, our external auditors, because they were excellent also. And we're just happy that the audit's done. And for this year, and I was mentioning to Brian, it was last year on this month that was my first meeting presenting to you. And I couldn't say the audit was done. In fact, we still have not posted the budget book. This year, the budget book was posted in March, and the audit is done. And so I think from the finance end of the house, we're in a pretty good spot, and we're pretty happy with things.
Excellent. I will move into the approval of action items. I do want to, again, echo to Wade's team, and in particular, Rachel Russo and Julie Steele, and the whole entire team in the field as well, because the audit isn't a, you know, one person, two person. It's a team approach, but Rachel and Julie really led that. So we're very appreciative of that. The first action item we have is the 2023 budget adjustment number 5. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, I'm going to ask approval of the budget adjustment number 5 in the amount of $8,363,473. I think it is important to raise up that $7.8 million is for construction contracts. That's detailed on pages 34 through 37. But for the record, I wanted to point out that there are 16 individual line items. We're doing a lot of work, as we mentioned earlier, in the park. All of the increases are either for increases in restricted appropriations that are covered by existing restricting dollars, or we've received new restricted dollars, or making increases in appropriation that are covered by existing capital fund balances we had. We're just freeing them up for work to do. In one case, Solon's match came in for the Chagrin Falls Trail, so we had to appropriate that. Bay Arts received a new state grant, as well as restricted donations, so we have to appropriate that so that work can be done. And some increases in appropriation for cash we already had. The two biggest items, one is $1.5 million for Wallace Lake improvements, and there's an adjustment of $1.3 million for the Mastic Road Connector Trail. It's a very comprehensive. We sat down with Joe Rozek and the planning and development and construction staff to make sure that all the projects that have been approved had enough money available so that they could stay on time and on budget. And so that's what this adjustment's for. So I would ask your approval of a budget adjustment 5.
Thank you. Motion.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next action item is established date of hearing for proposed 2024 tax budget. Wade?
Thank you, Brian. We would ask that you approve us holding a tax budget hearing on June the 7th at 9 a.m. It's required by statute that we have this hearing to look at our tax budget for next year already, for 2024. This will allow us then to report back to you on June 15th the results of that meeting. And so we just ask approval of establishing that day and time for our tax budget hearing.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the work going on at Manakiki. This is the design builder, Manakiki Management Center over in North Chagrin. We dated back to 2021 for the design build agreement with Hummel. Took us a bit of time to get things moving. We did hit some very unique things with the site and the pad preparation, some undocumented earth and debris, and things were reallocated in the subsoil. So we had to remediate in order to be able to bring this forward. So we're working on the management center, and then we are also putting in a new irrigation system. And so we're overlaying that into Hummel's contract for the irrigation pump house and construction. So we're asking for a revised GMP for contract number 3 with Hummel, revised amount of $281,543.55.
Just a question for the record. Why was the pump house such a unique?
We actually didn't get bids. We actually put it out to bid, Nobody actually bid on it. And so we were able to ask Hummel, who was actually on site. Yeah, it was just, it's too small of a project. It's just an anomaly. Okay. And it's kind of a unique fit. We've got to be able to build the pad and slide the pumps in and then finish the top of it. So.
Do we know who did the landfill that we encountered?
We do not.
We have a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action is resolution authorizing the application for the 2023 congestion mitigation air quality program through NOAACA. This is for the West Creek Greenway. This is at the through the Watershed Stewardship Center to Grantwood Drive. As you know, we try very hard to work with many, many partners to be able to be additive in the communities. This West Creek Greenway will ultimately connect West Creek Reservation to the towpath. This is a very, very good opportunity to continue to see the vision of a connected park district. The segment is 0.65 miles, 10 foot wide, all-purpose trail, with a beacon flashing at West Ridgewood Road. This is a partnership with West Creek, the Conservancy, who has done a lot of work acquiring the land. The application and the recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 13, authorizing the formal submittal grant application for NOAACA for funding assistance for the CMAC program in the amount of $1,019,000.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is award of RFQ 6683 Cuyahoga County RAISE projects. This is with Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Back in 2021, Board of Park Commissioners authorized us for the submission of the RAISE, the Cleveland Bicycle and Pedestrian Planning, to the U.S. Department of Transportation for the RAISE program was previously known as BUILD, and the predecessor to that was the TIGER. We submitted grant applications. We've got letters of intent. We are looking forward towards the cost proposal, and we have sourced all the way down to Chagrin Valley Engineering for an amount not to exceed $1,500,000. This is part of the planning from Slavic Village Phase 2 North, Morgana Run Booth Avenue connections, and Slavic Village to downtown.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I do have a question, just for a thought, I guess. It struck me as I was reading these last two, CMAC and RAISE, those are both transportation, federal transportation dollars for trails. Is that aspect communicated to certain voting officials down in Columbus when they look at the propriety of trails and the extension of trails as a public benefit?
The answer is yes. Ohio has 88 counties, and there are epicenters of more urban fabric, and there are sections that are more rural. So there is a kind of a little bit of a difference of opinion on how trails and conductivity work. Having said that, being recognized as a transportation corridor, which was very successful in the TIGER application, we continue to look forward to finding the transportation connection opportunities into the downtown work areas for sure, especially as RTA continues to try to find ways to connect residents to public transportation. This is another way to be able to find a multimodal way into downtown.
And so part of our proximate evaluation will take into account how these corridors have accomplished those ends. I just don't think we can do enough to keep building that case. Thanks. Sorry.
That's a great, great add. Contract Amendment 1687, Cleveland Metro Parks Huntington Playhouse. This is GMP2. This is with Regency Construction. I have to give it a tremendous amount of credit relative to Bay Arts, the work that they've been able to do to continue to raise funds to rehab the old playhouse. They continue to look at the next phases, and we are very happy to be able to bring this GMP2 with Regency Construction in the amount of $897,000 plus to be able to continue the work that's happening over at Bay Arts in the Huntington Reservation.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the contract 1680, Construction Manager at Risk, Cleveland Metro Parks, Wallace Lake. You'll see the info item coming up here right behind this. But this is, it was awarded back on September 14th of 2022 to Regency Construction. We've done a bunch of revisions and opportunities. We've done the pre-construction. This is establishing the guaranteed maximum price. We look to carry this project through here within this season and opening next year. Recommend action falls on the top portion of page 19 for the GMP number one.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Over to tabulation and award of bids. We have three of them: Zoo Greens, long distance phones, and fuel and heating oil. Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 20.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, I would ask your approval of resolution 23-05-080, amount of $11,374,407.28 for disbursements, wires, and payroll.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would also ask your approval of resolution 23-05-018.
081.
What's that?
081. 081.
Sorry.
I know, numbers.
Don't scare you. You want to redo that again, Wade, just to make sure that we have it correct?
Resolution 23-05-081, $312.55 for Ms. Griffin.
Move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore
abstains. Thank you. All right, and now we have public comments. Marty?
Good morning. Trails and golf are two attractions that Metro Parks emphasizes and takes pride in. So it was bad news to learn that Ralph Pratano and Damian Cosby are both gone. I'm not qualified to judge golf expertise, but I can say that Ralph was a master at designing and constructing trails, and his departure is a great loss. Visitors also seek out fields like Lutz Road and Frostbitt, but as destinations for off-leash dogs. It's not just inconsiderate, but potentially hazardous to other visitors on horseback or on foot, including those who do leash their dogs. It's unfair and devastating for the ground nesting birds, who are a prime reason for creating those natural meadows, sabotaging a chance to improve their dwindling numbers. Enforcing your leash laws has many benefits. The river rescue luckily had a great outcome for that loose dog and his owner, but at what cost and risk to responders? TV and Metro Parks' own publicity showed what can be done with proper training and equipment, which just reinforces what Mr. Odebrey was requesting for Wallace Lake last meeting. Surely you can be prepared for rescuing people from a water attraction that you promote. The upcoming construction there is a perfect opportunity to show your commitment to enhancing public safety. Leash dogs, quarry depth signage, and available rescue equipment are too basic to be overlooked. As you've added several large areas, there will be even greater demands on Metro Parks law enforcement. It's prudent to prevent as many calls as possible. If responders can't arrive quickly, then their skills may not matter. Gordon Park and Forest Hills are not easy areas, and I suspect the coverage in the quieter original parks may be shortchanged. With a budget now over $200 million for this year, there must be room for addressing these needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Carol McLean. I'm a Euclid Beach Mobile Home Park resident, and I'm a retiree from the Greater Cleveland United Way as a fundraising director for federal employees. I began looking for a mobile home when I was still an employee at United Way. Anyone that knew me knew at lunchtime I would sit at my computer and look for places that had a mobile home. I left my home in Wycliffe after I retired, moved to Eastlake because I was unable to find one. I went to mobile home parks in Portage, Ravenna. I went to Lake County, Willoughby. Could not find one to my liking. A friend of mine and myself used to walk Euclid Beach along the lake there, and we were walking past there one day, and she said, you know, they have mobile homes over there in Euclid Beach. So I said, boy, that would be great if I moved over there. We kind of laughed about it. Maybe 6 months later, I was looking in the newspaper, and I saw an ad for a mobile home that was on sale at Euclid Beach. I went, talked with the girl who ran that ad. The mobile home was in the front of the park, so I didn't want to be in the front. So I said, well, I don't think this is for me. She said, well, I have another mobile home. She said, it has a little distress because the man who used to live in there, he passed away. But I'm going to take you back there and show you that. When I went back there, I knew that was the home for me. There were some things that were wrong, but I knew I could go in there and do the things I need to do. I put in carpet, painted, did all those things. Found myself a home. I love living there. As I tell my friends, it's like living in the country in the middle of the city. This morning when I was on my way, me and my grandson, we saw rabbits in the backyard. We see deer. We see raccoons. There's a little cat shelter that's right beside me and a little home there. So I love living there. It's a place where my grandkids love. They come and they take their bikes. We go down to the lake. We ride along and ride back. They sit at the picnic tables and tell stories. It's a wonderful place for them. What I would just like to ask you folks today is just to hear our story. As you know, the WRLC and some other organizations have decided that they don't want us to stay there anymore. They're willing to expel 100 plus residents for a green space. And you know, we love green spaces. That's where we live, right there. I'm less than 100 feet from the lake. So I love living there, and we want green space, but we just want you to be fair and honest with us. As a Cleveland community, you know, don't expel the residents that are there. You know, let them stay there. They love living there. It's a wonderful community. So that was basically what I want to say today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more? Next information briefing.
Very good. The very first info briefing item we have is the Cleveland Natural Science Club. Karen?
Morning.
Morning.
Gordon. The Natural Science Club is nearly 100 years old, and it was founded when there were no professional opportunities available for science teachers, and outdoor education was not even considered as a profession or vocation. So this group of primarily female teachers formed the organization to do just that, provide resources and their own training and learn from one another through field trips and so forth and classes. And over the years, then their work influenced Cleveland Metro Parks, other regional organizations like the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. And eventually they ended up building Lookabout Lodge in 1938 in South Sugar Land Reservation, which became an affiliate of Cleveland Metro Parks, and have continued to provide programs over the years and just be a general resource for many people. But like many organizations of that nature, as time and resources go by, their needs weren't as great, and the organization has now dwindled to less than 10 members. And I'm really proud of them. They've made the difficult decision that it was time to dissolve and make the ultimate planned gift. So the funds that were remaining in their treasury, approximately $150,000, have now been placed in Cleveland Metro Parks Emerald Necklace Endowment Fund. And moving forward, it will generate approximately $8,500 to $9,000 annually that has been designated to support some programs within outdoor experiences that Mary's going to talk about. So again, they're going to be having an event, a small celebration of the club, sort of their final program on Saturday night at Lookabout Lodge. And we just wanted to recognize their contributions to Cleveland Metro Parks and the special gift that they've made.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, commissioners. I just wanted to talk for a few minutes about the plans that we have. You know, again, Cleveland Natural Sciences Club has been a partner of the parks for a long time. Personally, Lookabout Lodge is probably my favorite building within our system. I'm a fan of historic buildings. Using the funds that the Cleveland Natural Sciences Club has given us, pulling off the endowment that Karen mentioned, we are primarily focused on using that to help fund our summer camp scholarship fund. This year, we've revamped the way that we offer and promote our summer camps. We initially held back 10% of the spots for all of our summer camps to focus on offering those to underserved audiences. We've ended up giving away about 80 scholarships this year, valued at almost $10,000. The vast majority of these scholarships are to first-time campers. So we're really excited to invite those students to the park system this summer. We look forward to, as time goes on, offering potentially an annual speaker, a lecture series that would be sort of commemorated as the Cleveland Natural Science Club at Lookabout Lodge. We're still kind of working with that audience, with the remaining members, on what that's going to look like. As Karen mentioned, they have a sort of a final celebration this weekend that Karen and I will both be in attendance on, and we'll be talking about what that might look like. Thank you. Any questions?
Can you tell us a little bit more about the camps?
So these are our regular summer camps that we've been offering. We have more than doubled our camp offerings since 2019, really based on demand. What we were finding is these summer day camps, we were selling out in less than a day. Our wait list was double the number of students that we could actually enroll. So this year we're offering almost 2,000 spots in our summer camps. And again, the goal was to pull out about 10%. This is sort of a building process. I implemented a similar scholarship program when I was at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. It takes some kind of building up of the community. So working with our partners like CMSD, CMHA, the partners we work through Youth Outdoors. So next year we're hoping to build up the number of scholarship participants even more.
And which areas do you use for the camping?
We offer our summer camps at 13 different locations within Cleveland Metro Parks, in addition to the separate Euclid Beach summer camp that I believe I spoke about maybe back in the fall, which is specifically targeted on that East Cleveland Collinwood area. These are our traditional, the summer camp scholarships are our traditional summer camps that we've been offering for years and years at all of the nature centers, Hinckley Lake, Lakefront, some of the other locations. We've just expanded the number of camps that we're offering.
Very good. Thank you.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Any other questions?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next info item we have is Wallace Lake Concession Restroom Building Project Update.
Morning, commissioners. Morning. How are you?
Morning.
Hi.
So we're pleased to be before you again. The last time we provided a full update on the Wallace Lake improvements was actually back in June of last year. So we've made some great progress. Jim and I are going to give you some background on where we are today. And the next few months ahead of us here. So hold on a second. This could go in order. That would be really helpful. Okay, so we have our master plan for Mill Stream Run. And in that master plan, we identified with the community that at Wallace Lake, we wanted to accomplish certain things. Improve lake access, replace the aging infrastructure, add trails. So that's exactly where we are today in doing those things. So with the existing site, we've got a wonderful beach. We've got that 18-acre lake that was created in 1941. But with that, in 1975, you can say brutalist, inspired, defensive, concrete, whatever, not the most welcoming building, at least how we are planning and designing today. So we really want to take the next steps in upgrading the experience and the facilities. So at Wallace Lake, what we're proposing is new concessions, a new pavilion, and a new restroom. All this work in terms of design has been done in-house with our incredible design team. Ryan Danker has done really some fantastic work. We've learned a lot in doing this work at Huntington, the Trailside Program Center at Brecksville. And with those projects, not only have we done a lot of the design work in-house, but we've blended our approach to construction. So you just saw before you that Regency Construction has brought to us a GMP. So we are blending their talents with Jim's trades and site crews, and together we deliver these projects for much less than we would if everything was done with outside contractors. And we've proved that successful in the past years. So this project will be no different. So you can see here, this is a view from kind of the north side of the pavilion, looking towards the fireplace and to this wonderful outdoor area that we have. And sometimes we poke fun at Ryan because he's only got a few people in the catalog to choose from. This guy must have done something wrong because she does not look very happy. It is what it is. But again, we're really looking forward to what this project brings. On the master plan, not only are we looking for the new concessions and pavilion and restrooms, but we've really looked holistically at how we can improve this area, both bringing some green infrastructure improvements, and Jim is working on plans for a new parking lot and also the relocation of the volleyball courts. Jim?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sean. So when you start looking at the site plan and how we're going to use our skilled trades for a blended approach, back in 2018, when we paved this parking lot here, we really couldn't wait any longer for the improvements to happen to the asphalt pavement, but we kind of had a hunch that this project was coming. So we did repave this existing parking lot here, but we did put drainage patterns in that are going to accommodate green infrastructure down the line. That line now has come to us in real time. So when we do the improvements for the site, not only are we going to construct this additional parking lot up here because we expect higher usage out here, we're also going to add green infrastructure to the existing parking lot here, which will not disturb the pavements. It's basically going to be adding in these green islands that we have, adding the infrastructure to treat the stormwater. We will take that approach on this parking lot as well. And currently on the site, there's two sand volleyball courts that are very well used that sit right here, but from a flow standpoint, they're really not in the best place for the future development. So we built these in-house about 10 years ago. So we're going to rebuild those in this new location here that'll blend more seamlessly with the existing site, or I'm sorry, the new site, and then add this future parking lot here as well. From a trail standpoint, there's an existing aggregate trail that's more or less used for access by our staff that runs from the south up to the north. We're going to formalize that into a paved all-purpose trail. And right now, currently, there's no trail connection that takes you from the all-purpose trail network that runs along the parkway back into the site. So that's going to be added as well. That'll make this a nice, I'm sure, highly used loop. We know through patterned how people use trails, everybody loves a loop. They love to start and stop at the same point, you know, to get access to their car and whatnot. So that is going to be a huge improvement as well. You can't see it on the drawing here, but just up in this point right here, there's a very heavily used fishing dock and boat access dock that we're going to also bring a paved ADA accessible trail to as well.
Cool.
So here kind of shows that APT network that's going along the parkway, and this is going to be the proposed loop that we're going to create.
How big is that loop?
From a distance wise, it's going to be just about a mile.
Oh, cool.
Yep. I'm having trouble with the ups and downs here.
So the other thing that we're looking at is not only the site that we're going to develop here, but also right now there's a very unofficial network of trails that go around the lake, mostly primarily used for fishermen to get access to different fishing holes around the perimeter. So we've studied this area on and off over the past few years, and we walked it yesterday. We feel pretty confident that we can get a good, sustainable, accessible trail around the entire lake. There's a couple pinch points that we really have to take a look at because of terrain and property line issues. One of them you can see right here where our little green ends, that's our property going into to private property there. And the other one is down here where you can see the topography just, it's not a real opportunity to do a benched in trail that we feel good about as long-term sustainability. So we have a couple different approaches through boardwalks, floating dock trails, other considerations that we're going to do that we feel pretty good about the possibility of getting a sustainable ADA accessible natural surface trail around the whole perimeter of the lake. Mapping that out, that's about a 1.25 mile loop that would take you around there, where you could start at the hub of activity here, get yourself all the way around and then back to your car in the parking lot.
So we don't need easements. We just have pinch points that are
correct. Yep.
Skinny.
Yeah. And looking at this hillside here, it's very steep in some spots. It's heavily vegetated and I don't see a lot of washout, which means that it's kind of found its equilibrium with itself. I don't really have much interest in disturbing that a lot. So in these pinch points here, we're not looking at doing retaining walls or anything like that. What we're looking at doing is going, you know, along the shoreline or possibly even in the water and create a floating section of trail through those difficult terrain areas and then come back onto land. So we're looking at this aspect right now at Byers Pond. It's going to be kind of our trial run this year to potentially put into place here next year for this loop trail.
Those will be fun.
Yeah. Yep. And then from an accessible standpoint as well, there's an area, I'm going to jump back to this real quick. This area right down in here, which is not highlighted on this drawing, but this is our current kayak launch. It's used a lot primarily through our outdoor recreation group. And we feel that there's an opportunity to enhance that, which is going to be this area right down in here. So not only are we going to continue to use it internally, but we're going to formalize it and upgrade it so that it would be used as a public launch as well. We're going to put launch aspects in that will accommodate all sorts of users, whether it be, advanced users all the way down to beginners and then an ADA launch as well. And then also this is a pump house right here that runs an irrigation system throughout the whole site. We're going to upgrade that, possibly replace it. And this can also house not only components for that irrigation system, but also components that could be used in any sort of emergency response team that we would need, something similar to this boat here. It's an instant inflate boat that could be used if need be in case of an emergency to get out onto the lake to help anybody that may need it.
That's cool.
That compiled with that accessible trail around the outside perimeter, we feel good about the aspects of being able to respond to any situation that may happen out there at any time and get access around the entire lake. So with that, I woke up this morning and realized that we're halfway past the halfway point of May. We were grooming the beach out here yesterday, which means that we're going to start swimming here in about 3 weeks. And with construction starting in June, it's going to be a very, very busy summer out there at Wallace Lake.
Did I see bench swings too in the images?
You didn't see them. But we could always add them. Absolutely. we go at Huntington and at East 55th and at
yeah,
Beach.
They are
very,
thing.
Very popular.
Yeah, yeah,
there's always awesome. The opportunity for those. So.
Very good updates. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There is no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, June 15th in this room, and there is an executive session. Rose?
Is there a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of purchase or acquisition of real property?
So moved.
A second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Debbie Berry.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's it for our regular business. Hope you enjoy a good day. We're back. No further business having been conducted or to be conducted, I would request a motion to go home.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.